conscious harmony. I'm grateful to be with you and for you to be with us here in this gorgeous sanctuary on this first Sunday of August. I want to say thank you to Deborah for her leadership for last week. I'm grateful for your spiritual friendship on the journey and your wisdom. And thank you for being here today. Just one announcement. We have a congregational meeting that has been called by the Board of Directors that will happen next Sunday, August 9th, immediately following the 10 o'clock service. So as soon as I give the benediction, we will transition to the congregational meeting. And this is somewhat in lieu of our April congregational meeting, the standing congregational meeting we have every April. And the board is excited to give you an update on the life of the church, decisions that are being made regarding the process and decision process of reopening and the stages that will be involved. And also an update on the church finances, because I know many of you have asked me and are wondering how we're doing financially. And the board is excited to share with you all of these things and hope that you can be present. There'll be an opportunity for you to text or message, I'm not sure exactly how it'll happen, a question or email a question beforehand. You could email that to me or to Ken Ely or to the church office. And that will be next Sunday, immediately following this service. Today we are going to be focusing on the gift of remembering. And that's a very meaningful word in our community, the idea of self-remembering, but it will go beyond that, deeper than just remembering ourselves. It's the gift of memory itself. And in particular, we're focusing on a new series called The Joys of Life. And to really remember positive emotions and to actively make effort to remember joy, especially in this season of, shall we say, great adjustments. So thank you for your presence here today. It is a blessing to be in worship this Sunday morning. Let's wish together now that the fire, seed, and stream would unite us, and in this union, bless the world in some small increase of love and consciousness, counterbalancing all the fear and frustration and difficulties. Let's wish that together now. May this service be more than just for us individually, but may it be for all, and may it bless the world in love and consciousness. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Please join us in singing the gospel in one word.
Morning. Let's share our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. Since it's a new month, we have a new verse, if you will be my echo. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. And to thy dwelling. Well, it looks like we have some boxes on our altar. And they're gold boxes, so it looks like they might be valuable. And they look old, don't they? You know, parables are old. They were given to you before you were born. And sometimes we find parables in gold boxes, and just like this box, parables have a lid. And sometimes, even if you're ready, it's hard to open the lid. But keep coming back. Don't be discouraged. Let's see if I can open this parable. What is this? This is flat like a parable. Oh, I see. This is something I put here to help me remember to tell you about the parade of parables. This is Casey. He's going to be your storyteller. It starts next Saturday, which is Teo's birthday. Happy birthday, Teo. Casey is going to tell us on the second Saturday of every month a parable. And he's going to do a little cartooning. And he's going to teach you a little cartooning as well. So if you are interested in coming to the Zoom meeting, our brand new Zoom room for the Parade of Parables, you can find the link in the Friday emails. And if you don't get the Friday emails, you can call the church office. Well, so he's going to be the storyteller for the parables, and today I'm going to be the storyteller. Or am I? This looks like the church ladies' show. What am I doing here? Oh, I think I remember. I'm supposed to meet someone here, and I'm on time, but I don't see her. Where is that child? Red!
Granny, you're here. It's so good to see you. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm much better, thank you. And I have been gone for a while, and I'm quite concerned about you because your mum rang me up.
Oh, well, I was worried about you, too. You were sick so long. Did you have the COVID?
No, darling, I had a bad case of homesickness, but I'm better now.
Oh, Granny, I forgot what big ears you have. The better to hear you with, my dear.
And that's why I'm here. I want to hear about your troubles. Your mother says you're not sleeping and you're barely picking at your tea. What is troubling you, child?
Well, Granny, I don't know if you're aware since you've been in bed, but there's gangs of trolls that are patrolling the woods and goblins. And I was up in a tree the other day and I saw them pouring something yucky into the stream and it made it bubble and turn yellow. And they're cutting down trees and it's just awful.
Well, darling, what have you done so far to deal with these fears?
Well, I went to the king, but he wouldn't see me. He was in his counting house, counting all his money. And the queen was in the parlor, eating bread and honey. And they said something about me being a peasant. So I'm glad that you want to hear me talk about my fears.
Well, darling, I'm going to do more than just that. Today, we are going to start something. We are going to plant a seed.
What kind of seed? Like a tree?
No, this is much bigger than a tree. It's a territory. We're going to start a society of children. And this is going to be the Order of the Lucky Lightworkers.
Ooh, that sounds neat. You mean order like telling you what to do?
No, this is more of an organization. And everyone in the organization will take a vow.
You mean like make a promise?
That's right.
Do we have to give up anything, like chocolate?
No, darling. Well, yes, you have to give up your selfishness.
Oh, that sounds harder than giving up chocolate.
Well, I didn't say it was going to be easy. But you are going to be the first and invite the other children to plant this new seed in the field of conscious harmony. All the children of all the ages, of course, not just the little ones. But today I'm going to help you start creating your space.
My space?
Yes, darling. What you're going to do is create a special room in your interior castle where you can do your light work.
Interior castle? What's that?
Well, that is the realm of your being. And you here in this interior castle are the queen.
I'm the queen? Do I get to eat bread and honey?
Of course, we'd love for you to have some bread and honey. You do need to eat. Well, what you're going to do is create a portal. And you can do this by closing your eyes.
Granny, maybe you forgot, but I'm a puppet. I can't close my eyes.
Oh, that's right, darling. Well, what you're going to do is you're going to use your imagination to create this portal in the very tip-top of your interior castle. Now, your castle has all the different realms of your thoughts, the fears and all of that that you've been experiencing, but also the joy, the light, the peace, the truth. And you and all the other lucky light workers are going to go into your portals, and you're going to turn on the light of God. It's going to flood you, and then you're going to send it out and bless the world. And this will help reset all of the horrible things that are going on, because we have an optimal template that we need to reset, and you have to cancel out all of the things that are not love.
Ooh, this sounds like fun, and I can get other kids to join the Lucky Lightworkers?
That's right. I hope they will. And maybe it will spread even beyond the Church of Conscious Harmony. So, what your homework is this week, dear, is to go into your secret room at the top of your castle. And you can picture it however you want. You can be inside a drop of water, if you like. You can have walls of clouds. Or you can just simply have a room with walls. But you must imagine that in that room you have a door, and you can close it, and then you're going to say your password.
What's the password?
You don't remember? You've got a sacred word.
Oh, my sacred word, yeah, I've got that password. So when you sit down on your cushion, take a look and see, what does it look like? Make it real for yourself. Is it purple? Is it red? Is it soft? Is it shaped square or round or like a flower? Use your imagination to make it real. And there you are inside your room with your password. And the next thing you're going to work on is creating either a cord or a button or a switch to turn on the light of your true self. And in that space, you are going to send the light out to the world and help it to reset so that love is the key.
Wow, Granny, that sounds really fun. I like using my imagination.
All right, well, you do that this week. Every time you remember to sit in your portal, make it more clear and more real. And next week, I'm going to teach you and the other children the vow, the promise, and that will help to activate the light for the lucky light workers to help reset all of the problems, all of the things that are a bit dodgy right now. We can help.
All right, Granny, that sounds great. I love you, Granny.
Love you too, darling.
Our first reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember. Every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. May this reading nourish your journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Well, as usual, I am delighted to be here this morning, and I'm also grateful and happy to have Mary Sophia Shakespeare joining me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. So, are you ready to begin?
Yes.
Well, let's begin like we usually do with our one up and one down and our check-in question. So our check-in question this morning is, what is it? It always goes out just as I'm about to say it. It is, what is a miracle? How do you describe what a miracle is? And do you have any experience of a miracle? Could you share with us?
Mm-hmm. So should I start with my one up and one mm-hmm. down? Okay, well, my up for the week is that I got to spend this weekend with my dad and my sisters, and we just kind of goofed around and drove, and it was a lot of fun. Kind of different from, like, doing nothing, stuff that I have been doing. And my down for the week is I got into kind of a fight with my mom about, like, playing golf because I had to drop out of one of my tournaments, and it wasn't good. I didn't like fighting with my mom. But, yeah. And then for the check-in question, a miracle, I guess I would describe it as, well, you can't really describe it, I don't think. It's something extraordinary that I don't think a lot of people have really experienced, but Yeah, the miracles that I have, like, had in my life, I would say, like, are just these moments of just, like, feeling a higher power. I've definitely had that when I'm, like, at Llama or, like, just dancing or in nature. I just, like, feel this, like, divine presence. And I guess the biggest miracle would be, like, just me being born into the family I was born into and just, like, all the steps that have, like, gone into me being here now. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. My up is definitely this very moment. I mean, having you here is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I can't think of any downs. To me, a miracle is anything that helps me remember that there's more than just these five senses, this experiencing life with the five senses. And an example of a miracle would be the first time that I opened that glass door into the Church of Conscious Harmony over on Steck and smelled, felt the air. I knew my life was completely changed. And that gave me one example of what the future was going to be. And I am in.
I'm in too.
Okay. So I have a couple more questions for you. First, you have an amazing double divine feminine name. What's it like living or being with that name your whole life? Yeah.
Well, my first name, Mary, was given to me because both of my grandmas and their mothers were both or all named Mary. So I guess I'm just, like, carrying that name with me and just, like, holding their energy and having their energy with me. And then I also have Sophia, which means wisdom. And I don't know, like, I guess I just have always carried that, like, feminine energy with me wherever I go and, like, have like, that kind of powerful name that, like before people even meet me, they know that name. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw you, your mom was carrying you into the front of the church, and I looked at you and just said, "Hi, Mary Sophia," and you went, And I thought, lots of wisdom there. So these are challenging times, as we all know. How do you get through each day and night during these challenging times?
Yeah, that's a hard question because it definitely has been a struggle. There have been times when I didn't know what to do. Still, like, have those nights where, like, I don't really know what to do. I'm kind of lost. But definitely, like, talking to my friends, a lot of friends that I've met at CCH have been really helpful for me. Like, doing art has got to be, like, one of the most helpful things for me, just, like, being able to get all the stuff that's going on in my head and then onto paper and just expressing myself in a way that's, like, not harmful.
Yeah, good, good. So you've been a part of CCH since you were born. What's it like growing up in CCH?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, like, one of the most influential things into, like, who I am now. I just, like, I've always grown up in this community and had, like, so much love around me, and, like, during the Sunday school, like, they would ask wondering questions, and I just think that that's really helpful. It allowed me to, like, think about things and come up with my own ideas instead of having someone, like, tell me what I'm supposed to think. I don't know, I think, and then just, like, on the way home from church, me and my dad would always have, like, conversations about what we learned in church. And I don't know, like, I don't think I would have all the ideas and, like, experiences that I have now, like, without this church. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. Do you have a favorite memory from your time at CCH?
When I was thinking about this question, I could really only think of, like, the times in the nursery with my, like, sisters, like, playing on the big dragon and, like, I don't know. It's not a very, like, spiritual one, but it's definitely one that was just, like, had so much love. And and then times at Lama too, like when I just felt like very heard, I just felt like my voice had value to it, and just like being able to talk to people and like just share that love.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yes. And finally, does your spiritual life intersect with your day-to-day life? And if so, how does that intersect?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does in ways that I'm like not even thinking about. Like, of course, there's like meditation where that's like you have to have that intention, and you like it's like a very conscious decision to make your life intersect with like your spiritual life. But there's also just times when like I'll be doing nothing, and then I'll feel like energy and divine presence. I don't know. I think what I was saying with art, I think I feel like God or a higher power when I'm doing that. And
beautiful. Anything else you'd like to share or say during this time?
I'm just really grateful for the CCH community and all of the people that I met and all the friends I've met, and being able to go to Lama, I think that has really shaped who I am, and the goals that I want to like pursue with my life have definitely been shaped by going to Lama and seeing how they live sustainably, and I don't know, just like wanting to do that with my life and continue on the spiritual journey. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you again for coming this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Yeah. God bless.
Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapters 23 and 24. Then the criminal beside him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Thank you, Mary Sophia, for that gratitude and expression that helped me remember God as you shared. Thank you. And you never know how someone is going to help you remember yourself or remember God. Today, we begin a new series called The Joys of Life. And today's first joy is the joy of remembering. So it may seem like a strange way to begin. You wouldn't normally think of the gift of remembering as a as a source of joy, but I hope to convince you that the gift of remembering is actually one of the pinnacle qualities of being human. In fact, you might say that without the gift of remembering and all that is involved in the gift of remembering, we wouldn't be human. It may be one of the chief characteristics of what an awake human being is one who is remembering. In fact, that's a good way of talking about the gift of remembering, and that is to think about it as being awake. There are synonyms in many ways that when we are not remembering, we have fallen asleep. And when we are remembering, we are awake. And so wouldn't it be amazing to think about this truth that if you were always remembering, if there was never a moment where you weren't recollected unto thyself and you weren't aware of the totality of your lifetime, if you could be in that state of being fully aware of every moment of your life, the whole spectrum of your lifetime, that would be a kind of divine quality of omniscience. And so you can see the cultivation of the quality of our remembrance goes really deep and profound, and it really is one of the aspects of being created in the image of God. We have a capacity to remember, and not just remember intellectually, but to remember with our emotions. And in fact, as we'll hopefully see, our emotions are the primary doorway into remembering. If you're not a person who remembers very well, perhaps that's because the emotions aren't activated in that aspect of remembering. We'll hopefully talk about that today. The main idea I really want to get across and begin with is that practicing remembrance is a form of worshiping God. Practicing remembrance is a form of becoming the fullest human being that you can be. The quality of your remembrance is an indication of the quality and the state of your being. And to be a person who remembers not just facts or places or events, but to remember something else, to remember that you are connected with God at this moment, no matter what is occurring, and to feel that scintilla of peace, that center source, that beautiful core of goodness that is at peace, undisturbed, and connected with God always. St. Augustine, who is one of the greatest church theologians and perhaps the first modern psychological theologian, and he lived in the 400s of the Common Era, 1600 years ago, and St. Augustine wasn't always a saint. He was a tall, handsome man, and he was a sensuous man, and he was a very intelligent man, and he was drawn into the Greek philosophy of the day, became masterful of it, but he was also drawn into the lifestyle of lust at the Roman bathhouses, and he enjoyed looking at the beauty of women's bodies and had many partners, and he lived that sensuous life. And he was plagued in his remembrance, he was plagued in his memory by these encounters with women, these sexual experiences that he had had that had so deeply imprinted his being, and he couldn't get those memories out of his mind. And he struggled greatly with it. On top of that, he had a theological system that was made being human bad, which, of course, we can see how that influenced the church. But he was deeply disturbed in his memory about these things. And when he became a Christian, he had this beautiful conversion experience. He began to erase that memory of all the things that haunted him and brought him shame and sorrow of heart. And one day he was walking in the city where he was well known, and a beautiful woman saw him from across the street, and she said, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." And he looked at her, and he said, "But it is no longer I. It is no longer I." And that is a beautiful invitation that our remembrance of things helps us be transformed into something different. If we forget our story, we can't evolve beyond our story. If we don't know thyself, how can we be transformed in self? And so there's this, you might say, a seduction in the spiritual journey, the seduction of the eternal now, which is a wonderful concept, and it's a wonderful experience that we all have in moments where there's just such presence right here and right now. But the eternal now is a bit of a, you might say, a wormhole that who knows where it goes. Because the eternal now, one of the things that the eternal now does, always living in this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, is it erases time. And that's its intention, because it doesn't want history and it doesn't want future. But I'm here to tell you that the Jewish lineage from which Christianity births from is grounded in time. You know, time is a beautiful dimension and we don't want to lose it. That there's a beginning, there's a middle and an end. Don't you want a beginning and a middle and an end of a pandemic? Or do you want the eternal now? I don't want the eternal now. I want something different. I want the way it was. I want the way it will be. Am I the only one? But I think that this sense of losing time, losing our sense of time, is a way of a cheap excuse, spiritually, of bypassing our history, of bypassing one's biography. Because you can't just erase your history. You can't just erase your timeline. Time is a factor. Time is a dimension embedded into this created universe, and it's here for a reason. So if you don't know your history, you will perhaps recur it, and you may not know yourself and be able to remember. So it's in the very act of remembering one's history that one can experience freedom and transformation from one's history. It's not just going to happen. Transformation isn't just going to happen. It will require knowing oneself and knowing one's timeline and one's story. That's why Augustine could declare, "It is no longer I, though. You remember me in a certain way, but I'm no longer that man. And the reason I'm no longer that man is because I've done my work in remembering and neutralizing those memories by the grace of Christ and by the grace of the Spirit and by the grace of the Scriptures that have healed my soul and released me from that old man that I used to be." And you can say that for yourself. It is no longer I, though, when someone who knew you from the past acts as if you're that same person, and you can help them very graciously realize that you're no longer that person. You no longer need to fight with them. You no longer need to react with them. You no longer need to demand of them. You no longer need to ask of them the things that you have demanded and asked and fought and had reaction to your whole life, because it is no longer I. And that's the beauty of remembrance. It helps us move into that place of transformation in a respectful way to one's own journey. You do not forget your journey. You integrate your journey and move beyond it, transcending and including, including and transcending. And it's a beautiful thing to think about, the gift of time and remembrance. You know, I read somewhere that when we're born, we have 100 billion cells in our brain. 100 billion cells in our brain. I know some people who are sitting in this room who may be born with 200 billion cells, but Maybe that's an average, 100 billion cells. But what I find fascinating is that we don't make any more cells as we grow, as we live. It's the only organ that doesn't replace itself. So we start out with 100 billion, and depending on how many martinis you have, you know, it goes pretty quickly down. It's a sense of diminishment of those cells. They're dying off all the time. And life has a way of diminishing our memory cells, and disease has a way of diminishing our memory cells. And so there's a reason why we can remember things from 25 years ago but not remember 5 minutes ago what I wanted to say, this diminishment of our cells. What I find beautiful is that there are about 100 billion, so they say, 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And so I like to think of our Milky Way galaxy, our little galaxy, as a kind of mind of 100 billion points of light-filled memory, memories that we can't even comprehend. But as it is above, so it is below. And so you can begin to think of this constellation of brilliant stars, these cells that are here to serve us, are here to serve in cultivation of remembrance. Cultivation of not just remembering facts, but of awakening and remembering where we come from and what our destiny is. And of remembering time and place, remembering time and space, and the dimensions of existence. that are possible. Not only what we've been, where we've been, but also what might be possible for our future. And that gets us to the scriptures for today, because I carefully wanted to pair these things and just very briefly bring out some aspects of the important role that remembering has in bringing joy to our lives. And the first thing about joy is that it's a very positive emotion. It's a state, really, of that we can live in. And one of the things that I have observed in my life is that the various schools I've been to, ever, even as a little kindergartner, I remember my kindergarten class, and Mr. Hepp was the custodian of Elm Grove Lutheran School. And I could tell you the names of other custodians at all the schools I went to, because I observed the custodians doing their thing and cleaning up after us. And what I noticed over the course of my whole life, and every custodian I've ever interacted with, these custodians are joyful and happy. In fact, I wrote a poem once, "Why Are All the Custodians Smiling?" And especially the custodian at Princeton Seminary where I went, he was hit by a car and he had a metal plate in his head. But he was the most joyful man I've ever known, honestly. And he had every reason to be the most sorrowful, mean, embittered person. Grew up in Camden, New Jersey, African American, tremendous difficulties, and then hit by a car and had a brain injury. But he cleaned the seminary library like it was his act of worship to God. And he smiled all the time, and he knew every student by our names, and we knew his. And he was a beautiful being, a simple-hearted being, but always full of joy. Not just happiness, but joy. And I think that joy is something that I know I am wishing for more in my life. Now, it just so happens that I feel joyful all the time, a lot of the time, here. But for some reason, it doesn't manifest on my face. And I feel that sense of joyful peace in my body a lot. But it doesn't come out or cross. And I wonder about that. And I have observed that in my life. I wonder if you also have a reluctance to demonstrate your joy. And I know that as a younger man, I had a more freedom of expression of joy. But then I got so serious, you know, somewhere along the line. I got so constricted and energy constricted. I remember feeling a tremendous amount of emotional constriction in college. I went to the West Point of Christianity, Moody Bible Institute, where we had a dress code where the men wore ties to class and the women wore dresses, and there were tunnels underground to beat the cold winters in Chicago. And there was something about living underground that constricted me, living in that busy, busy city, that noisy, crowded city, and seeing the contrast to the immense wealth, to the extraordinary poverty and homelessness. And something in me constricted down and didn't feel like life was safe or even joyful. And it's taken me a long time to move through that constriction. And certainly yoga has helped. But meditation, centering prayer, also helped and very gently drained some of that constriction, almost in an imperceptible way. And so that one of the experiences of the fruit of centering prayer early in my journey and on retreats was a deepened sense of lightness and joy. And it was almost a bit like a drug, and I think they have proved that it's a kind of chemical in the brain that happens post-meditation. And it was such a sense of joy and such of gratitude. And that kept me going on retreats and was a very much a part of that sense of delight in being on the spiritual journey. Now, some of those joys have gone away in my practice of centering prayer, as is the case for most people who are on the journey. That joy goes away from the surface, and it's like the low-hanging fruit gets plucked, and now the joy runs really, really deep. And the joy becomes a source of strength for our lives, like ballast in a ship on sea in a storm. Unseen, but holding the whole ship afloat and steady. That joy that knows that it is a part of God and can never be separated from God, no matter what is happening. So the joys of life really are really higher emotions, and the sense of joy is something to wish for in all of our lives, especially in these situations that we're dealing with where life doesn't seem to be the way any one of us would want it. And we can point out the deep sources of anxiety that are poison to joy in our common culture together and as we face the pandemic together. There have been these little moments of joy that have come along for me. Beautiful moments of joy. Like the time I saw the Facebook ad. It made me cry. This poet reciting a poem. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous ad in the middle of the pandemic as it started. And it brought me so much joy. I cried with tears of joy. Like, this is really a beautiful thing that is uniting people. That this joy is stronger than anything that could divide us. And this joy is the great counteraction to fear and anger and hatred. You can't hate someone when you're in a state of joy. And so let's think about the joys of life. And one of the greatest joys of life that brings joy, reconnects with joy, is remembering. Now you might think that remembering actually could bring sadness, and it can. That if you get stuck in the rut of your mind's memory of something that you resent or someone you hate or even a trauma that was done to you, that yes, in those cases, remembering is in the short term not going to bring a great deal of joy. But through the remembrance, which is a form of healing and therapy, it's a form of reconnecting to oneself in a gentle way that memory can be healed, can release its emotion, its negative emotion, or its emotion that whatever its purpose is, we don't understand it. So we call it a negative emotion, but really it is there to serve us in some way. We get squeezed out like a sponge, squeezed with water that was used to clean up something. And that remembering squeezes us out, and it is therapeutic. And so isn't it a beautiful thing to have a therapist or a counselor that you can talk with who helps you remember? They may not say they're there to help you remember, but really the therapeutic encounter is, first of all, to build trust so that you can share your story and know yourself. And in that context of safety and trust, that counselor, that therapist, is a safe place to help you remember. And so too a community like this. We are a community of remembrance. We are a community of telling our story, not to be identified with our story, but to be freed from our story. But first, you must tell your story to know your story. And in order to know your story, you must tell your story. And this is a beautiful gift, the quality of divine action in our lives, the capacity of mind and memory. So let's talk about remembering and some ways in which we remember. And these passages of Scripture that we had read give us a little insight into some ways in which we can remember. I know there are many, many ways you can remember. You can remember, like, you know, how the Packers won the Super Bowl under Brett Favre. I love that memory. You can remember your the first time you fell in love, your first love. You can remember an amazing vacation you had. You can maybe even close your eyes and go to that place. There are all sorts of things you can remember. But today I want to just highlight three simple things that we can remember and practice cultivating our remembrance. And the first thing that brings us joy is when we remember other people. When we remember other people. This summer, I've been remembering a few people in my life 30 years ago who so blessed my life. And they happen to be beautiful beings who I haven't interacted with since then. But it's as if they are close to me right now because of this connection of this 30-year interval. And something in me is very live to them, very alive to them. And it's as if time has dissolved in the connection of memory. And it's as if I'm there with them at Camp of the Woods in upstate New York in the Adirondack Mountains. And I can see Emily, and I can see Greg. I can hear Greg's laughter. And I can see them, and they bless me, and I bless them. And I'm remembering them this summer a lot. And I'm sending them love, and I'm sending them prayers. And that's St. Paul's prayer to the Philippians. And he says this also to the church of Ephesus. He says this to a lot of people. I never stop to remember you in my prayers. And so the joy of remembering is sending out prayers and thoughts to other people that have blessed our life, to remember those people that have shaped our life and influenced our life, who have been our mentors and teachers and guides and lovers and friends and beloveds and family members, and people who have been significant keystones that our life has been built upon. Doors that have opened because we've known this person and that person in ways that we never would have experienced had we not encountered them. And we can remember these beautiful beings, these beautiful people. Journaling is a very helpful way to do this, to remember the people in your life that have been there for you and that have shaped your life. And especially markers of anniversaries is a very useful way of doing that. To remember the seasons and the moments of the people that have blessed your life, and to call them to mind and then call them to heart. And that brings a great deal of joy, and it helps activate your memories. I practice doing this all the time. Every week I'm writing in my journal, every day, every month, every year I'm remembering the past. The past is a repository that is a sacrament of divine time, and to treat it as a sacrament, to treat your memory as a sacrament, to treat your timeline as the Holy of Holies. And this is our act of worship to God, is to know ourselves and to remember our lives and the people that have blessed us. And part of that remembering of people could include reconciling with them, forgiving them, releasing them from the wound, damage, hurt they've done to you or with you, or just because they were the way they were, something happened. It wasn't that they did anything to you. It's just that something happened. And to remember those people also can bring joy in the morning through the sorrow of the night. And that joy of recognizing, well, I'm okay. I'm here. They're not. I'm here. I made it. And that's a beautiful gift, to remember the people that have been our enemies as well as our beloveds. Another very important way that we can remember people and their facticity, the fact that they exist and that you exist, is to listen very deeply to what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Because it's a phrase from Luke chapter 23, verse 44, that we should all memorize, I think. That this is a phrase that we can speak to one another and declare as a truth that's deeper than truth, because it's a mystery. And that is what Jesus says, today, that's time, today, you will be with me in paradise. And this is time and space, that's the union of time and space, today in paradise, this kind of place, wherever that might be, could be a state of being. But the most important thing I want you to hear, I want us all to hear deeply, is the you will be with me. Because that's unity without distinction. Unity with distinction, I should say. You and me. That whatever the union might be on the spiritual journey, that oneness has a distinction to it, a you-ness and a me-ness, an I-ness and a thou-ness. That's the beauty of the Christian message. And that death doesn't dissolve your you-ness so completely that you can't remain in relationship with another thou. You will be with me. Now, the mystery of the thou-ness, of the me-ness, whatever that might be, is a great mystery. But I love Cynthia Bergeau's book, Love is Stronger Than Death. And I love every witness that bears witness to the fact that these near-death life experiences that people have are telling us that there is an existence that continues beyond this plane of existence. And so to take that in our hearts as we remember people who have passed away, that they exist, they continue to exist, not just philosophically, not just poetically, not just spiritually in our hearts, but they exist as facts. I love that. That there is not an ultimate annihilation of one's soul, but the transformation of one's soul and being in ways we can't comprehend. That includes the transformation of the body. That we receive the resurrection body, which as an expression of our soul. You will be with me, the beauty of relationality. And that is a gift of remembrance, to remember that truth, to remember the relationality, the joys of our relationships, that we wouldn't be who we are without the other person, the yous and the me's in our lives, and to remember these relationships, even those who have passed on. Such a beautiful gift. And then lastly, what the angels say to the women who have come to the tomb at Jesus' resurrection event, and they are in despair, they're weeping, and the angels, which represent that higher dimension, that truth from above, that higher center, so to speak, that state of constant remembrance that we aspire to, they say, why are you weeping? Don't you remember what he taught you? Don't you remember his wisdom? And so one of the aspects that brings great joy when we remember it is the Word of God, is the wisdom of God. Our encounters with C influences through the filter of B influences that we call Holy Scripture. And this is one of those things to remember, that when we forget truth, when we forget truth, when we forget wisdom, when we forget the Word of God, when we disconnect our lives from higher sources, from cleaner influences, from higher energetic influences, we forget and we enter into the world of forgetfulness, of non-truthfulness, and we feel disconnected from ourselves. And in that blinded state of forgetfulness, we act out in all sorts of ways that we tend to regret and feel sorrow for. So if you wish the joy of remembrance, stay close to the Holy Scriptures. Not just the Bible, but there's hundreds of Holy Scriptures on this planet now. I've been reading the Book of Urantia. As far as I'm concerned, it's a Holy Scripture. I mean, my gosh, what wisdom from above. I don't understand it, but my gosh. There are lots of Scriptures to plug into. As far as I'm concerned, the commentaries are Scriptures. And we could go on about the Scriptures, but they help us remember, and it brings joy when we come across a nugget. Don't you feel joy when you open up an old commentary and you see something underlined that you read the first year you were a work student? Doesn't that bring a sort of joy to you, a kind of sweetness to the mouth, a kind of sweetness inwardly? It's extraordinary that truth evokes joy when we remember it. And we can see how the truths that have shaped our lives, like lighthouses on the sea, guiding the ships from shipwreck, and these beautiful monuments to us that we remember. Oh, I'm so grateful for that one work idea when it first landed of transforming incoming impressions. Oh, that brings me joy, how much that one idea has changed my life. And this is really important, that these ideas, these truths, these wisdoms, help us remember, and that remembering brings us joy. And ultimately, the most important thing that we can do, obviously, is to remember our God, which is another way of saying remembering ourself. And that gets at this notion that is undergirding all of this, this gift of remembering, and that is that third aspect of the Holy Triad of self-observing, not identifying with what you see, non-critically, not identifying with what one sees, and then self-remembering. And self-remembering, we like to talk about it in terms of self-remembering in Christ. And that self-remembering is such a beautiful mystery and such an extraordinary experience. If you're wondering what self-remembering is, there's a beautiful, small, accessible chapter in this book. It's the last chapter in the book, or the second to last, called Self-Remembering. This book is by Rebecca Nottingham, and she brings together the Christian conception of remembering God with Maurice Nichols' teaching of self-remembering. Because in essence, that's what self-remembering is. Even though we call it self-remembering, what it really means is holding the whole octave together, both ends of the stick together, both the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the self and God, the source and the manifestation, this awareness that I am connected at this moment by way of memory, the gift of memory, the faculty of memory, to God, to that higher. And I know myself, my feet on the ground. I know this story. I can feel who I am, and I know that I am not just that, and I'm also connected to source and that which is higher for me. That quality, that fine sacred point in each of us that can keep growing and growing and growing is really the Eucharist of remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, 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 remember. And in that remembering, you're literally rebodying yourself. You're literally re-transforming your soul and your body. You're becoming a part of the body of Christ. Your mind, your memory, your journey in the body of Christ. A sparkle on the crystal. A beautiful little nub on the dog ball. The one and the many. The I and the thou. The me and the you. And this remembrance, this journey of remembrance, then becomes a symphony of remembrance as our note of remembering weaves into billions of other notes of remembrances of other people. And we write this extraordinary story of the universe through our memories together. And if there was a purpose for all of this, any of this existence at all, could it be that the mind of God is wishing to have as many experiences as possible so it can spend eternity upon eternity in the bliss, the joy of remembrance? Ah, to remember is divine. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment and let the Spirit speak its completing words in each of our lives and families. Holy Spirit of God, we wish to awaken from our sleep of forgetfulness and enter into the light of fullness of remembering, to remember that we are beloved and that we can love. Call us forth into your destiny by way of our history in the joy of this present moment. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity, fire, seed, and stream. Amen.
Thank you.
We dedicate this Eucharist to remembering our beloveds in our community and our extended community that are dealing with cancer and that are in hospital or need of care in this time. We pray for their comfort, their ease, and their healing. Let us remember together. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory and joy of our Creator, for the glory and joy of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. I give thanks for the gift of being together in this cloud of worship. I thank you, Mary Sophia, for your presence here today representing the youth, and for all you beloveds who are committed to our community to make it what it is. I remember you, and you remember me. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit awakens us now to be little light bearers in the upper castle rooms. Amen.